You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Y'all, but when Johnny was talking about that little white-headed lady sitting in the back that'll take you out, I was scared to turn around. Because if he was talking about Sandra, she used to be my babysitter, and I know she can take me out. Mother used to come home and find her sitting on top of me. I didn't go anywhere. I was telling Leland what an honor it was to get to speak tonight at the rec room, and he said, well, they'll appreciate me more when I get back. Tough old cowboy from Idaho was counseling his grandson on long life, and he said the secret every morning was put a pinch of gunpowder in your oatmeal. His grandson did exactly what the old man told him to do, and he died at the righteous age of 103 years old. He left behind 14 children, 30 grandchildren, 45 great-grandchildren, 25 great-great-grandchildren, and a hole 15 foot deep and 30 feet across where the crematorium used to be. I love coming to the rec room. I got a lot of friends here. And there wasn't a whole lot of places I used to be welcome. Now, I had a lot of friends, don't get me wrong. You know, the guys and gals I ran with, they were into some cool stuff, you know. They were into drugs, alcohol, crime. You know, if you could get in trouble for it, we did it. And you know, it never amazed me. The more drugs I had, the more friends I had. Anybody ever been there? Yeah? Got a lot of friends when you got the drugs? Yeah. It was really sort of amazing. It's sort of like winning the Texas State Lottery and long lost family members coming out to see you when you had the dope, didn't it? Wasn't that how it was? I had a bunch of family at that time. Parents, great-grandparents, grandparents, sisters, brothers, uncles, aunts, ex-wife along the way somewhere. I was always surrounded by people. Some of those people were trying to straighten me up, and some of them were trying to keep me unstraight, whatever that might have been, you know. Regardless, I was always the center of attention, and occasionally it was just too much attention, if you know what I mean. Any of y'all ever been to booking? Yeah. You know, those friends I had, they weren't bad folks. They just made some really bad decisions sometimes. Of course, the way I made a lot of bad decisions myself. Some of those decisions cost me a career, they cost me relationships, they cost me respect, and finally, most of all, they cost me my freedom. One of the decisions I made pretty early on was to do it my way. You know the old Frank Sinatra song, I'm going to do it my way. Well, my way was far from the right way. And one of those bad decisions was I excluded God from my way. Now, don't get me wrong, I knew there was a God. I was baptized right down the street down here. But if Paul was right in Romans 3, does anybody need a Bible? Because I'm going to quote, and while Leland and Johnny might tell you the truth, I might lie. So if anybody needs a Bible, raise your hand, I'll pass them out. Apostle Paul said in Romans, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." If that was the case, then I didn't stand a chance already. I was toast. You see, I took that Bible verse completely out of context. But for myself, that's how I lived my life. I was disjointed, out of context. I never really fit in. Didn't let a whole lot of people get too close to me for the fear they might see what was going on inside of me. Any of you ever felt that way? Yeah. You know, I said earlier I had a bunch of friends. Really what I had was a bunch of associates. You know, that's different than my life today, man. When I have people that walk up and they hug me when I come to the record and they say, "How you been, Craig? How you really been? You know, what's going on? Where's your mother tonight?" You know, and they ask about my family. They want to know. Nobody, when they came to my dope house, ever asked how my mother was or how my family was doing. You know what? Not once. I thought Christians had to be pretty well, faultless people, perfect people. Folks I saw at Sunday school, when I saw them out on the street, they didn't really meet that faultless and perfect sort of deal. You know, they didn't fit that description. Remember, I was the one that took the verse, "For all his sin and fall short of the glory of God," totally out of context. Well, the truth is, in Psalms 32:1, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered." Yeah. Amen. This isn't some movie where a gangster gets the last rites and goes to heaven. It's about Jesus walking down the shore and telling two fishermen, you know, to cast away their nets and follow him, and he'd make them fisher of men. The road to heaven doesn't come from good deeds, helping little old ladies across the street, or even helping build a new wing on your church. In Romans 11:6, Paul said, "But if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace." Now, did you find that a little bit confusing? I'll tell you what it says in my wife's Bible, if y'all promise not to tell Leland I strayed from the King James Version. If they could be made God's people by what they did, God's gift of grace wouldn't really be a gift. Wow, isn't that simple? You know, if they could be made, God's grace wouldn't be a gift. And that's what I stand here before you, a perfect example of God's grace today. You know, if you couldn't get to heaven by ignoring God or bribing God, I was pretty stuck at that time. You know, I couldn't make a deal. I think there comes a place in everybody's life where, you know, they ask themselves, "Is this all there is?" I survived over a decade in prison. I've been sober nearly 20 years. I was married, had a home, a successful business, but something was missing, and I couldn't tell what it was. All I knew about God, 20 years in AA, you'll know a lot about God if you understand him, and I didn't have a clue who that God was. But I took that God out of context, just like I took that verse we talked about earlier. My faith was nearly non-existent. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Faith means being sure of things we hope for and knowing something is real even when we can't see it." You know, to have a faith like that. Slowly I started feeling a call in my heart, and I couldn't tell you what that call was. It was just sort of an emptiness that was being filled, and I didn't know how it was being filled. It was a bunch of things combined. It was the dying of a good friend of cancer who was more worried about saving my soul and my salvation than he was about his soul, because he was comfortable where he was going. It was about a little wife of mine that prayed for me every night and every day that, you know, that I'd come to know some of the joy and the happiness she knew through Jesus Christ. And it was a spiritual walk where I discovered God, where He wanted to love me, and love me more than I was capable of even loving myself. Me, a stone-cold sinner, you know, I've broken His every commandment. God said in Jeremiah 1:5, "Before I made you in your mother's womb, I chose you to be loved that much." With God in my world, you know, I wasn't an accident. I wasn't an incident. I was a gift to the world. I was a piece of art signed by God. Each and every one of us are that piece of art signed by God. Made in His womb before it ever started by the craftsman Himself. Jesus the fisherman had cast His net and I was caught. By noon on no wings do we stay caught. As Christians, Jesus gives us all a mission. Some will preach, some will serve, but we're all supposed to do our best to bring the least to the kingdom of God. In that task, I sometimes fall incredibly short. I have a Bible on my desk in my office. Got a Bible in my bedside. I wear a cross. I got this fisherman's bracelet. I got a book full of cards here that introduced me as a Christian. I got an Emmaus card. Leland got me some Loops card printed up. He wouldn't let me put my phone number on them. I got my business card. I got some IMC. I got all kinds of stuff introducing me as a Christian. Perfect opportunity to testify to people. And yet I fall short, you know. I had an incident that happened to me the other night at the hospital. I went over to do a post-accident drug test on a young man. He was probably 19 years old. He was in the hospital. His wife was there. His mother was there. His grandmother was there. We were doing his drug test. And the lady came in from the hospital and she said, "What is your religious affiliation?" He goes, "What do you mean?" And she said, "Well, are you Catholic? Are you Christian? Are you Jewish? Are you Muslim? What are you?" And he goes, "Well, I don't know. I guess I'm a Christian." Man, I'm a Christian. I should have jumped on that right there, shouldn't I? There was a perfect opportunity to witness and testify to somebody, but it was late and I really didn't have time. And I needed to get home to my wife. And so I didn't do it. And I left. And I started feeling on the way home, I was feeling so convicted about it. The next day, I do a thing on Tuesdays with Leland at Turning Point. I was there early so I could talk to him about it. And I was telling him about this situation that God had presented this opportunity for me to witness to a guy. You know, in the family I was raised in, whether I was a believer or not, if my mother and grandmother had been there and they asked, what religion are you? It wouldn't have been a religion. He goes to the First Baptist Church down here. They would have told him, but nobody said anything. You know, I had a perfect opportunity to witness for this whole family. What did I do? I turned my back on Christ. I felt so guilty about it. And when I was talking with Leland about it, you know, his reply, it just kind of struck me. He said, "I've done that myself." And I went, "Oh." Because I can't imagine Leland ever not standing up boldly for God, you know. And he said, "I've done that myself." And I went, "So what's the answer?" He said, "You feel really bad about it, don't you?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "You won't do it again, will you?" And I said, "No, I won't." He said, "Then you've answered your own question." You know, isn't that cool, man? You know, we all fall short of the grace of God. You know, I took that totally out of context, didn't I? You know, it's important that you have a spiritual mentor, somebody you can talk to. My wife and I had been going to a small church over on Dixie, a little street church, and we outgrew that church. And we wanted to go somewhere else, and we made a deal that we were going to strike out and see some other churches. And we came to this church, and we never left. You know, Johnny's my pastor, and it's an honor to get to stand behind the same pulpit each day on Sunday and preach at. I mean, this is an incredible place. Find you a church home. You know, I was so lost, I couldn't figure out why that revolving door in prison kept me hung up in there. I didn't have a clue who Jesus Christ was. I didn't have a church family to help me and assist me. I didn't have any help at all. All I had were those friends of mine out there. Y'all know the ones I'm talking about? We can sit on the, you know, we can sit on the fence and hope for the best. Salvation is not a coin toss. Salvation is a way of life and it has to be lived. Jesus is coming back to judge the quick and the dead. It says that. In Revelations, he said, you're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. I shall spew you from my mouth. It's a pretty strong word, man. I'm going to spew you from my mouth. We can't sit on the fence. I told a story about my great-grandmother's house a couple of Saturdays ago. She had a huge tree in the back that had a treehouse in it. And there was a rope that went up to the treehouse. And some of us kids could get up to that rope, and some of us couldn't. And I was a little fat kid. I couldn't climb that rope. And somebody helped me up the rope. And when I got to the first floor, there was a trap door that went up through the ceiling. And so one of my cousins reached down and held a hand down to help me up. And as Christians, shouldn't we do the same thing for our brothers in Christ? Shouldn't we give them a hand up? That's what the rec room's all about, is giving people a hand up, not a handout. That's what we're here for as Christians. You know, I remember the joy of being able to stand on the top of that roof with my other cousins that had been able to do that, but it wouldn't have been possible without some other people's help. You know, tonight I want you to go to a quiet place and ask God to come into your life. I can tell you what happened with me. A non-believer spent 10 years in prison. He'd broken every one of the commandments. I remember when that time came, I sat there on my knees and I said, God, I don't know if you're real or not, but if you are, man, please just come in and examine my heart. And I started to feel love and a joy and a contentment that I'd never known before. And suddenly I felt God saying, you are my son, you are my child, you are my creation, you are a prince in my kingdom, you are my child. I belong to the family of God. I never really belonged anywhere. I got a TDC number, 478256. I don't belong to the state of Texas. I belong to God. And that night when I got on my knees and I asked God to please come into my life, and I felt that flowing through me as I sat there, and I didn't know what else to do because I'd never felt that moment. I'd seen other people do it, and I kind of snickered at the side of holy rollers and made different names. But that's not what this is all about. This is about taking the longest walk tonight you'll ever take. About 25 steps up here and giving your life to Jesus Christ. That's all that it's about. It's a simple thing to do. And some of us are just too big to do it. A life with Jesus Christ means a life of never being alone again. You know, I thought I had it all. I realized that I really didn't have anything at all. Not until I found Jesus. You bow your heads with me for just a second. Jesus, if there's someone here today that might be sitting out there wondering, you know, help them realize that there's no way to the Father but through you. There's no other way to heaven, you know. Lord, I ask that you give the people here the strength tonight to reach out, that they might know you and all that you do. Lord, we ask this in Jesus Christ. With your head still bowed, if there's anybody out there that like to know the love that Jesus Christ has, raise your hand for me. The love that Jesus can only bring to your soul. The happiness and contentment. Thank you, brothers. I see you can put your hands down. Thank you, sister. You know, that's the joy that ends, that's like none other. Better than any drug you ever found. If you want that joy, it's real simple. Just raise your hand today. You know, just raise your hand. You know, it's a simple thing to have. To be able to go home and be the spiritual mentors of our families. To be the leaders of our families. Instead of parasites. It's a simple way. All I'm asking you is just to come home. If you stand to your feet, please. Lord, we ask that those that raise their hand tonight, give them the strength to make that long walk down here to change their life. That moment that will change your life, you know, with the head still bowed, we're going to sing. If you'd like to see your life change tonight, if you'd like to become a fisher of men, all you got to do is make that short walk tonight. It's a simple thing to step out, man. Nobody's going to belittle you here. To be one with Jesus. It's an easy, easy, easy step. Come on now. If the world were to end tomorrow, where would you go? falling short on faith, and patience is falling short on kindness. The critical spirit falls often for love. So how often do you sin? How often do you turn to Him? I'll give you one final chance to come on down to the Lord. Heavenly Father God, thank you for those that came tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
Give those people that had an opportunity to have another opportunity some other time, Lord. You know, as we go out of this place tonight, Lord, help us to be the fishers of men that Christ spoke that each of us should become. Lord, help us in our daily walk. Provide for the kindness and the care of each and every one of those that we might touch. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.